Like I said, this is about, as we know, is Ahab, which is completely wrong. It is a kind of a sad situation of our education on how we are so deceived and so misdirected. Now, I looked up the word in my book. I read books in the 1700s, and all of a sudden, they're talking about manure. And I started looking, and the word manure comes from maneuver. It has nothing to do with dung. And actually, it means to cultivate. Used by one man cultivating land. And I thought, isn't that sad that the root maneuver and manure are the same bond, you know, and we've got no association whatsoever. We've completely lost meaning of words. And that's how Satan works with us in the corrupting of vocabulary. So we've got to go back and grab that vocabulary. And so whenever you're looking up a word, I mean, ever hearing a word, all you have to do is, am I even using it correctly? So you go to Google and you just say manure etymology. And it'll tell you the Latin or Greek origins and what it's all about. You say, I'm not even using the word correctly. They're using the word correctly. And so what we do as our lives, especially with this book, because like when they say hell, all you have to do is to say, what?
What Hebrew word?
What Hebrew word are you referring to? And it's over. The conversation's over. Because all they can say is Sheol. And the first uses of Sheol is in Genesis like 36 with Jacob. And so you say, well, interesting, shouldn't hell been in Genesis 2 when he says, eating of the tree, you shall die and you shall die? I mean, it's a good time to tell people, or tell Cain, or tell Noah, or tell all the people who died before Noah. And you got 2,000 years that have gone by before the word Sheol. And then Jacob says, oh, I'm going down to Sheol. Well, you know, what are we doing here? You know, just stop. And this is all pastors and everybody else. And they just didn't stop. And they just go with the facade that goes on there. That has nothing to do with this teaching. But Ahab, you know, we say A, and there is no A in Hebrew. It's always Ah. And if you see A, B, what is that?
Father.
And that's the word father. And so it should be A-C-H or A-K-H is the first. Ak-Ab, which means my father's brother. That's what his name means. That's what you say his name is. It should have been A-C-H hyphen A-B. Yeah, it's really interesting because you see, and that's what, you know, I'll try to say, so I think of like it as hawk without the H. Akbar.
It sounds like cleaning your throat.
Yeah. But, you know, you can say Ahab, we know what we're talking about, but let me just, the resources that we have available to us are really astounding.
I thought it was Akbar.
Let me just have the guy pronounce it. And Ab, he doesn't like it with an A-V. Maybe everybody has it like A-W-B. It's always a lowercase a. So father is...
Strong's H1. Of.
Okay, we're going to see that in Ahab. Okay, now we go to brother. Can't open file. Come on. Something's happened here. Let me try this again. Can't open file. Yeah, that's too bad. Okay. I had it. I did listen to it. So it's Ak, A-K-H, is brother.
Akav.
A-K-H, so maybe it'll do A-C-H, and it'll go like Ak.
Av.
Ak.
Ak, Av. A-V. Sounds like
A-V. Yeah, Akav, which is my
brother.
And so they're going to reverse it. It's really brother, father, and they're going to reverse it, my father's brother. And I thought, this is a good illustration of
right here?
Yeah. Be loud if you can do it. I don't want to spend too much time on correcting it. But I thought a good illustration is once sons are grown up to manhood, they can be their brother or their father. My father's brother. Because now you're no longer son and father.
Strong's H-256. Ach-av.
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 Yeah. So, but we're going to look at the lessons. You know, here's just an illustration with learning to walk and with Yahweh working with unlikely men. Evil, and but they have some good in them. And so many times our lesson today is, why did Yahweh do this? You know, what we're going to see is with Ach-av, there are 16 chapters that he is in tell. Now think of that, an apostle never even gets one chapter. Mm-hmm. We got 16 chapters of a very, accordingly, an evil man that's going through this. And he actually has four chapters in Chronicles. And Chronicles is only for Judean kings. Yeah. So you're like, so much emphasis on it. And we see with his father, Omri, who was an evil man, it says that, you know, Father Omri did more wickedly than all that were before him. He had 12-year reign. He gets 5 verses. So Omri gets 5 verses. Ach-av gets
20
verses. What did I say? How
many chapters? 16
chapters of his story. So you're like, what's up with Ach-av? So to give you a little illustration of the events that we'll be covering, but we're looking at good working inside evil, or actually good, somewhat good inside evil. So our lesson is, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. There's Yahweh's got people and institutions that we would never even imagine. And we can say, you cannot be a Christian if you're in this institution. And that's what we would have said with Ach-av too, with some of his generals. But they were, which we're going to find out. But some of the events were, you know, we've got Ach-av, and then we have Ben-Hadad, Assyrian king, and then it's Jehu, but it's really Yehu. And so these three people are going to cover the 16 chapters. So we begin with Ach-av, with the drought, which is 3.5 years. We go into Mount Carmel, as you know, it's the showdown. Ach-av repents. So we find out that once the fire came down and consumed it, then he didn't kill Elijah.
Right.
And he allowed Elijah to kill his 450 prophets.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you're like, okay, something's with this guy. Jezebel goes after Elijah after that. Ben-Hadad surrenders Samaria. The prophet goes to Ach-av to victory against Ben-Hadad. So Yahweh is sending prophets to help a wicked king, to fight even a wickeder person. That's the first one. Then he did it again. Another prophet goes to Ach-av to a second victory, in which we'll go into. Let me see here. Oh, then he calls, after these battles, he calls Ben-Hadad my Ach, which is what?
Brother.
Brother. Big mistake. That's another lesson there. Elijah reproves Ach-av of this. Ach-av and Jehoshaphat join troops. Micaiah prophesies Ach-av's death. Ach-av, death by Ben-Hadad. So we find out the person he doesn't kill kills him. Wow. Big lessons. The person you didn't kill killed you.
But what did he do that was good?
We're going to see. I'm just going to sum up. There's just so much here to say. All these lesson. Yeah. Naaman, remember him, the leper, he was a general of who?
Israel.
Ben-Hadad.
Oh.
The bad king.
Yeah.
He comes and gets healed. Very interesting. And he follows Yahweh. Ben-Hadad goes after Elijah because he's telling what's happening in the king's bedroom. And then, it, you know, Ben-Hadad besieges Samaria. After that, Yahweh is the deliverance of Samaria. Ben-Hadad is murdered. And then Yahu, which is Jehu, destroys the house of Achab and Baal. And that's the end of the kind of the situation. That's right. Here's what we're going to be going through, try to go very quickly, not all of it, but to show you these very interesting lessons. When Yahweh writes something down, there's a reason for it. So, we'll begin, let's see here, let's go with 1 Kings 16:29. It should be after each session, we should say, what's the lesson here? Excuse me. Now, I might get Ahab mixed up, but Achab, I'm going to try to do that. So, Achab is the correct pronunciation. As my father's brother. Our father's brother. Now, Achab, son of Omri, began to reign over Israel in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah. And Achab, son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Achab, son of Omri, did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh. So this is how you begin. And did more wickedly than all that were before him. You know, you're making a record. You know, you get a medal,
yeah,
of being the most wickedest. And it came to pass that as though it had not been too light a thing that he should walk in the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. What were those sins?
Two golden calves.
That he took to wife Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal, and bowed down to him. And he reared an altar unto Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And Achab made the sacred stand. And Achab did yet more to provoke to anger Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, than all the kings of Israel before him. You know, what a great introduction. Now this piece of trash we could just get rid of, but that's not the case. You see, very interesting things that happen. We can see in 21, well, the expedite things, talks about Jezebel goaded him on. So that's 1 Kings 21, 25 to 26. A very big lesson about women, their spouses, or it could be the husband. We also know that's with, and Jezebel was ended up killed by Jehu. But we see the wives of King Solomon. We see the Samson. And so many times they are weak individuals that are actually kind of under a spell. It appears to be under the spell to be manipulated by spiritual forces. Athaliah was another one. And so she contributed, you know, sometimes they think women aren't powerful. And in this particular case, they're running kingdoms, is actually what they're doing. They're running their husband, which is the king. And we know Athaliah was the daughter of Jezebel. And she was counselor to her husband and son, 2 Chronicles 22, 3 and 4. Good thing to remember about that. So we're going to look at the good things, the evil and the good. And I really pick her as weak, Achab. He did not murder Micaiah, and other prophets. And so many kings, when a prophet spoke against them, you're dead. He didn't.
King Saul.
He repented because of Elijah with the 450 prophets of Baal killed. And guess what? Let's go there. Verse 18, or chapter 18, 41. Then Yahweh is going to actually bless him. So interesting king hears Elijah that stopped the rain for 3.5 years, and he says, "You're my enemy." He goes, "No, I'm not. You're the enemy." He says that to the king. "We're going to do a contest. Bring your guys, and I'll bring me." He goes, "Sounds good."
Sure.
I mean, instead of just chopping the guy's head off,
yeah.
You know, then you have them, you know, the fire comes down, consumes everything. But what are we really looking for? We're looking for rain. That's the problem. The rain's being withheld. So we go into, 18:41-46. "Then said Elijah to Ahab, go up, eat, and drink, for there's a sound of a downpour of rain." He's telling the king what to do. And he goes, okay. You know what I mean? So he was really submissive to Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
So Ahab went out to eat and to drink, but Elijah went up to the top of the Carmel and bowed himself to the earth and put his face between his knees. Then said he unto his young man, and you know, it goes on. And then 44, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, "Lo, a little cloud like a man's hand coming up from the sea." Then he said, "Go up, say unto Ahab, harness and get thee down, lest the rain shut thee in." And it came to pass, meanwhile, that the heavens had enshrouded themselves with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. But the hand of Yahweh came upon Elijah, so he girded his loins and ran before Ahab until they entered Jezreel. So Yahweh blessed all of Israel, including Ahab, his ruler. Not that he was evil in every way, but he blessed him. And you're like, well, that's very interesting. And then he goes, tells Jezebel, and Jezebel doesn't repent. So she goes after Elijah, and he has to flee again. Let's go to now helping the prophets. And he's listening to prophets. And so you're like, well, look at this. Your wife is after Elijah. Now, why would I ever help you again after my prophet? And if you go to chapter 20, verse 1, we're going to see another story that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, and we can distinguish between Syria and Assyria, because the capital of Syria is what?
We got Nineveh, but is that Assyria?
Yeah, that's Assyria. It's Damascus, which is still alive, still is a city today,
still
Damascus. Damascus is the capital of Syria, and actually Jacob was called Assyrian, because this is where they came, that territory. Nineveh is Assyria, which is farther north, above Syria.
A bunch of fish flappers up there.
Yeah, now Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, had gathered together all his forces, and 32 kings were with him, and horses and chariots. Then came he up and laid siege to Samaria and made war against it. Now we go to 13 and 14. And Milan, you want to read verse 13 and 14?
"So lo, a certain prophet drew near unto Ahab, king of Israel, and said, Thus saith Yahweh, hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, me deliver it into thy hand. Today shalt thou know that I am Yahweh. And Ahab said, By whom? And he said, Thus saith Yahweh, by the young men of the princes of the provinces. Then said he, Who shall begin the war? And he said, Thou."
Okay, so Yahweh sends a prophet, and guess what? Lo and behold, he listens to the prophet.
Yeah.
Ben-Hadad says, "You're going to give me your wives and your children and your jewels, and then I'm going to come in after you gave them to me and see if there's anything else in there." You know, Yahweh comes with a prophet. Well, that's very interesting. Now, in 19:21, "And when these had come forth out of the city, even the young men of the princes of the provinces, with the forces which were following them, then smote they everyone his man, and the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. But Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, escaped on a horse with horsemen. And the king of Israel went forth and took the horses and the chariots, and he went on smiting the Syrians with a great smiting." Okay. Well, now we have a prophet come back to him. I don't know if it's a different prophet. Victory won. "Then drew near the prophet unto the king of Israel and said unto him, Go strengthen thyself and mark, see what thou wilt do, for at the return of the year is the king of Syria coming up against thee. And the servants of the king of Syria, and unto him, Elohim of the mountains are their gods, for their cause prevail they against us, but only let us fight with them in the plain, and verily we shall prevail against them. So they said we lost because of the gods.
Because of what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had the gods of the mountains, so we're going to fight in the plains next year. And so usually there was warring times when you didn't war during the winter time. So now we go to 22 to 25. Well, we already read that. 28 to 30. Then approached the man of Elohim, which is the prophet. And so if somebody ever says, that's another thing, when they say he's a man of God, no, he's not. That man of Elohim is a prophet or a prophetess. And so don't ever use that word, you know, Lot is used very lightly. Like a son, you can say a son of God or son of Elohim, or a child of Elohim, but don't say a man of Elohim. Then approached the man of Elohim and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith Yahweh, because the Syrians have said, an Elohim of the mountains is Yahweh, but not a God of the vales is he. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude in thy hand, so shall they know that I am Yahweh. Which he does. That's two. Helping Achav, a wicked king. And we see they won, and in 31, and his servant said unto him, we're talking to Ben-Hadad, they lost, lo, we pray thee, we have heard of the kings of the house of Israel, that kings known for Hesed they are. Let us, we pray thee, put sackcloth upon our loins and rope about our heads, and let us go forth into the king of Israel. Preventure he will save alive thy soil. So they girded sackcloth upon their loins and put ropes about their heads and came in unto the king of Israel and said, thy servant Ben-Hadad saith, let my soul live, I pray thee. They're such cowards. You know, many times they are just cowards. Same way today, many times. And he said, is he yet alive? My brother, my ox, he is. Well, watch this. That's the same word, ox. Now the men could divine, so they hastened to let them confirm the words of his own accord. And they said, thy ox is Ben-Hadad? And he said, therefore, go fetch him. So Ben-Hadad came forth unto him, and he made him come up unto him on his chariot. And he said unto him, the cities which my father took from my father will I restore, and bazaars shall thou make thee, and Damascus as my father made in Samaria. So will I with this covenant will let thee go. So he solemnized with him a covenant and let him go. Bad mistake. This is going to haunt him because we're going to find at the end who kills Achab, and it's the king of Syria, his forces.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. And that, we will get around to that point. Let's see here. So he did that foolishly. And he's going to be reproved by the prophet. So remember, the prophet came down and said, strike me. And the guy would not strike him. And then a lion ate him. And then another one struck him, and he struck him. And then, so here's another prophet coming to Achab. It might be the same prophet. And going to give him these warnings.
I don't understand this.
Pardon me? Did I lose you?
Now this section of the word is just strange.
But he binds himself up and acts like he was a soldier, and he says, you know, I had an enemy, and the guy said, keep this enemy, and if the enemy gets away, it's going to be your life. And so I was keeping that enemy, and then he escaped, and I forgot he was escaped, and he said, aha, out of your own mouth shall you be killed. So, and he says, it's you. So he turned around, and then he took off the turban, and it's like, guess what? It's the prophet. Yahweh speaking to me again, which he didn't kill the prophet, but he goes right out here. 41, then hastened he and removed the turban from over his eyes, and the king of Israel knew him, that of the prophets was he, and he said unto him, thus saith Yahweh, because thou hast let go the man whom I have devoted out of thy hand, therefore shall thy life be instead of his life, and thy people instead of his people. Kill the prophet. No. And the king of Israel departed unto his house, sullen and disturbed, and entered Samaria. Huh. Didn't kill that prophet either. So we're really looking at areas where we've got to be careful when we, with other people in other areas of life, that Yahweh could be having a hand in this, but it looks like how could they have a hand in this corrupt institution? It could be somebody working in a brothel or something like that. You never know. So he's got to walk circumspectly on what's going on. So we're going to look at now. So in this corrupt kingdom, we have a guy named Obadiah who's a general. And that's chapter 18. And how could a
is
man...
that First Kings?
The same as First Kings. Go back to 18. Now how could a man who is a righteous man work under such a wicked person? Why wouldn't he flee and go down to Judah, say for instance? His name is Obadiah. So here's the other lesson. And 2 through 15. Aaron, you want to read that?
Sure. 18 verse 2. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. The famine was severe in Samaria. And Ahab had called for Obadiah, who was over his house. Now, Obadiah was one who revered Yahweh exceedingly.
Yeah, look right there. What are you doing in Israel? What he, you know, but he's there. Go ahead.
How far?
To 15, okay. If you can.
And so it came to pass when Jezebel was cutting off the prophets of Yahweh that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in caves and sustained them with bread and with water. So then Achab said unto Obadiah, go and let us pass through the water throughout the land unto all the fountains of water and to the ravines, peradventure we may find grass. And save alive horse and mule, and not have more of the beasts to cut off. So they divided them the land to pass through it. Achab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went the other way by himself. And so it was, as Obadiah was on the road, that lo, Elijah met him, and he recognized him, and fell upon his face, and said, now art thou my lord Elijah? And he said unto him, I am. Go, say unto thy lord, here is Elijah. And he said, how have I sinned that thou art delivering thy servant into the hand of Achab to put me to death? By the life of Yahweh thy Elohim, there is no nation or kingdom whether my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they have said, nay, he hath taken an oath of the kingdom or the nation that no one could find thee. And now thou art saying, go say to thy Lord, here is Elijah. So shall it come to pass as soon as I go from thee, that the Ruah of Yahweh shall carry thee away, whether I know not. And so, when I go tell Achab, and he cannot find thee, then will he slay me. And yet thy servant hath revered Yahweh from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel was slaying the prophets of Yahweh, how I hid of the prophets of Yahweh 100 men by 50s in caves, and sustained them with the bread and water? And yet now thou art saying, go, tell my Lord, here is Elijah, and so he will slay me. Then said Elijah, by the life of Yahweh of hosts, before whom I stand today, will I show myself unto him.
That's good. I mean, this guy is a great believer, and he's right in the midst of stuff. And obviously, Achab does not know he's hid 100 prophets, let alone Jezebel. But that is Obadiah. Now we're going to look at Yehu, which is very interesting, in chapter 21, same book. We all know about Nabob, but Elijah's going to address what happened to Nabob. And we're going to find out.
Nabob, it's Nabob.
Nabob. One thing about Nabob, I realized that they gave false witnesses. That was also what they did with Stephen. Stone Stephen also. And that's all they had to do with Christ too. So the methodology is always to bring in false witnesses. And for the purpose of destroying.
Like our president.
Same thing, our president too. So the Democrat Party is known for that, bearing false witness. And we know, according to the word of Yahweh, if you bear false witness and you're saying he's a murderer, which means that he dies or he should die for that, that is your sentence. So whatever the consequences of your bearing false witness is on you. Yeah. Whether it's done to them or not, which is just. Yeah. And so during our judgment time, Yahweh can do all this to all these people who bore a false witness. Yeah. But yeah, so we're going to look at 17 to 24.
What chapter?
21. Yeah, 21. Excuse me. Then came the word of Yahweh unto Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Achab, king of Israel, who is in Samaria. Lo, he is in the vineyard of Naboth. Now, another point thing, did he kill Naboth?
No.
When he said, I want your land, did he try to kill him because he wouldn't give it to him? No, he didn't. He just went home and did what?
Pouted.
Mm-hmm. What did his wife do? Piece of cake. So there's something about Achab, about once he married the witch of Endor, it comes down, your life is ruined. And so we're going to see that with Nabob, whether he had gone down to take possession thereof, then shalt thou say unto him, Thus saith Yahweh, has thou committed murder? And so he's being charged with murder, and also taken possession. Then shalt thou speak unto him, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, in the place where the dogs have lapped up the blood of Naboth, shall thy dogs lap up thy blood, even thine. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine any king would probably kill the person by even saying such a thing.
Right.
Then said Achab unto Elijah, Has thou found me, O my enemy? And who's his enemy?
Yahweh.
Now, Elijah's talking about the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. Prophets are just messengers. And so when you don't take the counsel that Yahweh is giving you, if Yahweh works through that person or through his word, then you're defying Yahweh. And so if the scripture says you can't do that, here it is right here, you can say, nope. Okay. It's not you that define, it is Yahweh what they're defying. Back to 20. Then said Achab unto Elijah, Hast thou found me, O my enemy? And he said, I have found, because thou hast sold thyself to do the thing that is wicked in the eyes of Yahweh. Behold me, saith he, bringing in upon thee calamity, and I will consume after thee and cut off of Achab, even the meanest, whether shut up or left at large in Israel, and will deliver up thy house like the house of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, son of Abijah. And by the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked and caused Israel to sin. So he's causing Israel to sin. Very important for parents to realize, too, that their lifestyle could be causing their kids to sin.
Wow.
And they're held responsible for that. Because they're the leaders of the household. Moreover, also concerning Jezebel, hath Yahweh spoken, saying, The dog shall eat Jezebel in the town land of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Achab in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the birds of heaven eat. Now watch it. But indeed there was none like Achab, who sold himself to do the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh, whom Jezebel his wife did what?
Goaded on.
So that he did very abominably in going after the manufactured gods, according to all which the Amorites had done, whom Yahweh dispossessed from before the sons of Israel. That is, now we're going to find the end of Yehu, 2 Kings 9.
That's Yehu or Achab?
We're back to Yehu.
Now we're going to Yehu.
Yeah. Because what we're going to see is, who was there when Elijah told him this?
Okay.
Yehu was there. He's going to repeat this. So look at that. Yehu is, the general or captain of, also like Obadiah, Yehu is up there also.
Obadiah and Yehu.
Yeah. And so he's going to quote this.
We'll go
Yehu, there. 2 Kings 9. When it's fulfilled, 30 verse 30 to 37. And when Yehu entered Jezreel, and Jezebel heard of it, she set her eyes in, what is that?
Stibium.
God, what a, this is just a,
Eyeliner.
Witch. I know, but think of, she's probably beautiful. We're always thinking of witches. But this probably is a knockout, gorgeous individual. And as, you know, satanic as all can be. And ornamented her head and looked forth to the lattice to ask for repentance, to ask for mercy. So when Jehu had entered in at the gate, she said, was it peace when Zimri slew his lord? Because she knows that Jehu has killed the kings. And he looked up his face unto the lattice and said, I love it. Didn't even address her. I love this too. Yahweh said, go wipe them all out. Yahweh said, go wipe out all the house of Ahab and Baal. And he goes, and so he's another very unusual person that we have to realize that Yahweh utilized. And so Donald Trump is an unusual individual too. I think he's converted many times. But he had a rocky past with marriages and a lot of other stuff. But still, you're looking at, can the guy get it done? Yeah, he could. Yeah. And was fearless and did it, which we're going to see. And Donald Trump's doing it right now. Let's see. He said, and he looked up his face unto the lattice and said, who is with me? Who? I love this. If you're going to get back at somebody many times, ignore them. It does more than anything else. You know, no response. You don't do that to your parents. But somebody who is trying to invoke you and they're trying to push the button, you just turn, walk away. And that's the worst response they could ever get because they didn't get a response. And they looked out unto him two or three eunuchs and he said, hurl her down.
Throw her down.
And you can imagine her whining and screaming and everything else, and they're like, my God.
That's the new sheriff.
Yeah, and they hurled her down, and there was sprinkled of her blood upon the wall and upon the horses, and they trod upon her. And so the horse probably walked across the body.
And what did he do?
And so he went and ate lunch. Now watch, then we'll go to 36. Then came they back and told him, and he said, the word of Yahweh it is, which he spake by the hand of the servant Elijah the Tishbite, same in his own town, land of Jezreel. So how did he know this? And so either it had to be told it, or he's with Elijah, and he was with Achab when Elijah prophesied it. The dog shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and so shall the carcass of Jezebel become like heaps of dung on the face of the field in the town hall of Jezreel. And they cannot say, this is Jezebel. We did that with Bin Laden.
Bin Laden.
Yeah, no burying place. We fed him to the fish. Mm-hmm. So nobody could make a monument to come and bow at his tomb. And so they threw him in the ocean. Yeah, I took his picture. Now, we get into Yahweh helping Israel from Syria by Elisha, the prophet. And so, 2 Kings 6, you got time? Achab is dead now. But Syria, Ben-Hadad, is still alive and kicking. So how consequential was it that he did not put to death Ben-Hadad? And Ben means what?
Son
of Hadad. So I see Ben-Hur is the son of Hur. So Ben, I think Bar is daughter. So I think, if I'm not mistaken. But here is Elisha, and it's chapter 6, verse 8. Now, the king of Syria, which is Ben-Hadad, was making war against Israel, so he took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my encampment. The man of Elohim, therefore, went unto the king of Israel, so Yahweh's helping this wicked kingdom, saying, beware of passing by this place, for thither are the Syrians coming down. So the king of Israel sent unto the place whereunto the man of Elohim had spoken to him, and warned him, was on his guard there, not once nor twice. Then was the heart of the king of Syria, which is Ben-Hadad, disquieted concerning this, saying, he called his servants and said to them, will you not tell me who of our men are for the king of Israel? Then said one of his servants, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words which thou speakest in thy bedchamber.
Uh-oh.
this group. And he said, go and see where he is, and I may send and take him.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. As you know, then they go to Isaiah, Elisha. Let's see here. Let's see, 13. 24, 25. But we know that Elijah took him into Samaria and then let him go. So they either had a little bit of peace. Now we're going to go back to Ben-Hadad again, Assyrian. He's got a big story in here. He's got a lot of chapters on him as Ahab. 24, 25. And it came to pass after this, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered together all his hosts and came up and laid siege against Samaria. Now here Elijah and Isaiah and Melania. Why do people today, as then, come against another country? What is their purpose?
They want their stuff.
What?
They want their stuff.
Which is called?
Robbery.
Robbery?
Robbery. So all war is either defending something that people want to take, or the other people are trying to steal and enslave you. And so all war is based on that. When it comes
greed.
Down to it. Yeah, it is based on thugs, all they are. They're not a good war. Hitler, Stalin, you know, France, you know, they wanted other people's thing without working for it. The Democrat Party today, by taxation, they want to take it from you. And not only take it from you, I want to enslave you so I can keep getting things from you.
Put you in your tribute.
So just remember, that's what war is all about. And he lay siege against Samaria, and there came to be a great famine in Samaria, and lo, they continued and seized it, until Asa's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver. So here's Ben-Hadad again, that Ahab did not kill, trying to rob and kill this, this Israel. But as you know, Yahweh made a big commotion, and they thought the Egyptians were coming to help them, and so they all fled. Left their horses, their tents, all their valuables, because, you know, if you're going to, all your booty, you're going to carry with you. Yeah, yeah. Booty is the goods through your...
Is that a booty?
Yeah,
booty.
Through your looty. And so, as you know, the leopards come in and find out they're all gone, so, you know, so he just helped Elisha just deliver evil kingdoms of Israel at this particular point. Now, Elijah now goes to Syria. Let's see here. Verse 7.
In chapter 7?
Which, yeah. Chapter 8, verse 7. Sorry. And Elijah came into Damascus. That is the capital of Syria. Very bold. I mean, these are tough neighborhoods. My cardiologist is from Syria. And that's why I would say, tough neighborhood. He goes, didn't used to be. And like Tim has been there, he said, it's really, I think, one of the oldest existing cities in the world.
Damascus?
Damascus. It's still there. I mean, this is probably 2,000, 1,500 B.C., and it's still there. And Elijah came into Damascus when Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, was sick and was told him, saying, the man of Elohim had come in as far as this place. So the king said unto Hazael, take in thy hand, and they're actually looking counsel and getting word
from Yahweh.
From Yahweh. Yeah. And Yahweh gives him the word and tells him, you're going to live. But he realized that Hazael, his general underneath him, is going to kill him. And even though you're going to get healed, and that's what happens. In 15, he goes, but it came to pass on the morrow that he took the coverlet and dipped it in water and spread it over his face, as Ben-Hadad, that he died and Hazael reigned in his stead. But that is Elisha, Yahweh help, you know, giving information to the Assyrian kings, very interesting too. Now the anointing of Jehu, he was the commander of Ahab in 2 Kings 9, verse 6. And he gets anointed. Then he rose he up and went inside and poured out the, oh, you know, this is the prophet coming in to Jehu. And just remember, every time you see a J in the Hebrew, you can put it, replace it with a Y. And a lot of times, even with I, you can replace it with a Y. Like, in Isaiah is
Yeshaya.
Yeshaya. Let's see, where was I?
Verse 6.
And then rose he up and went inside and poured out the oil upon his head and said unto him, Thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, I have anointed thee to be king unto the people of Yahweh, unto Israel, and thou shalt smite the house of Achab, thy lord. So he's a servant under, you know, Achab. Now Achab is dead by now, but Jezebel is still alive. And his sons are still alive. So
we already threw her out the window.
No, we went back.
Yeah, we went back. So will I avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of Yahweh? And that's a great consolation that we can have. When somebody abuses us, Yahweh is going to avenge us at some particular time. Mm-hmm. At the hand of Jezebel, so shall perish all the house of Achab, and I will cut off to Achab the meanest, both him that is shut up and him that is left at large in Israel. Yea, I will deliver up the house of Achab like the house of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. That was a man he appointed as king. Yahweh did. And like the house of Baasha, son of Ahijah. And as for Jezebel, the dog shall eat her in the town land of Jezreel, there being none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. I just love that.
No one to pour oil on it, then run.
Yeah, it is.
Why do I got to run?
Just run. Just run. Don't ask questions. And we see he accomplishes this in chapter 10. A very unlucky person. You're like, God, so who was in his kingdom? You got Elijah and Elisha and other prophets helping Israel. And they are prophets for Israel, not Judah. You've got Obadiah, who's a good guy. You got Jehu, who's trying to take over and wipe out the house of Ahab. And then you got Ben-Hadad. And so we're going to go over the lessons of what we're learning. Yeah, a little ahead of myself. 28 to 31. Then Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. Nevertheless, as for the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he caused Israel to commit, Jehu turned not away from following them, the calves of gold, one being in Bethel and the other in Dan. And Yahweh said unto Jehu, Because thou hast done well by doing that which was right in my eyes, according to all that was in my heart, has done to the house of Achab, sons unto the fourth generation shall sit upon the throne of Israel. But Jehu took not heed to walk in the law of Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, with all his heart. He turned not away from the sins of Jeroboam, which he caused Israel to sin. But he did what Yahweh did, and Yahweh gave him four generations of sons following him, which is a reward. And he even knows that you still got the sins of Jeroboam, which really irritate me. So our lessons are, Yahweh has plans in evil kingdoms and maybe evil organizations. And that's Obadiah and Jehu. That's interesting. Women, and probably men or spouses, people very or family members very close to you, can destroy your life. That is Jezebel, Athaliah, you know, Solomon's wives, Samson's wives, or woman. Yahweh works with evil good rulers, Achab, a lot. Messengers can be sent to evildoers and evil and good men. So Achab could not have been pure evil like Omri.
Yeah.
Because he would have killed his prophet. And so he didn't. And there's another time that he repented too, because after Nabob, they said, you're going to die. He comes and repents and puts sackcloth on. And Yahweh says, okay, I'm not going to kill you right away. Yeah. Right. I forgot to read that. That's important. Do not make Yahweh's enemies your ox. He will kill you. Ben-Hadad did to Achab. You know, so when Yahweh says, cut, disassociate, don't ever think. Family members, I think, would be a good illustration, too. Family members. Athaliah killed her grandchildren.
But that was the Old Testament, though.
It's all the way through. Right? Now think of that. Jezreel or Jezebel, let me see, it was killed, had Ahab kill his brothers, so he became king. Athaliah had her husband, Jehoram, kill his brothers. And then when her son was dead, she killed all her grandchildren, put him to death. And so this is grandma. This is my wife. This is my, and so you're looking at what can happen with people that if you don't do what Yahweh says, you better watch it and keep your enemies at a great distance from you. And how you know their enemies is not by their appearance, not by their relationship. If anything, he should have done, Ahab, if he would have killed Jezebel, then his life could have been completely different. And it would have surrounded himself with the prophets. And so when she had Naboth killed, murdered, that would have been justification to have her murdered. And the people who were the false witnesses, I would murder them also.
But she was only murdered,
put him to death. And Yahweh's covenant with Abraham is so big. Now watch, this is kind of the end. Chapter 13. We'll end up here. Chapter 13, 14 through 20.
The same Kings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Elijah's falling sick, and they're still going to help Israel. So if somebody wants to read, what do you want to read, 14 through 20?
Now, Elijah had fallen sick of his sickness wherever he was about to die. So then Joash, king of Israel, came down unto him and wept upon his face and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. So he took unto him bow and arrows. Then said he unto the king of Israel, let thy hand rest upon the bow. So he let his hand rest thereon. Then Elisha put his own hands upon the hands of the king and said, open the lattice eastward. So he opened it. Then said Elisha, shoot. And he shot. Then he said, the arrow of victory by Yahweh, yea, the arrow of victory over Syria. Therefore shalt thou smite Syria in Aphek till it be consumed. And he said, take the arrows. So he took them. Then said he unto the king of Israel, smite unto the ground. So he smote three times and then stayed. Then was the man of Elohim wroth against him and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times, then hadst thou smitten Syria until it had been consumed. But now three times shalt thou smite Syria. And Elisha died, and they buried him. Now troops of Moabites.
Glenn, stop there. Good. Another illustration is Israel could also have been a barrier from Syria to Judah.
Okay.
So when you're looking at the good kings of Israel, there are none. No. And Yehu is about the only one. With Judah, there's quite a few. There's Asa, Hezekiah, Josiah, Solomon for a period of time. So you had good ones, but there's a barrier. Syria's up here, Israel's right here, the 10 tribes, and Judah's right down here. So sometimes I'm helping Israel because I want to help Judah. And so that's why my prophets are there and they're fighting between them because Syria is not
like
going away.
Like a chess game.
Yeah, yeah. And whatever reason, we've got to realize, you know, so when making an alliance sometimes with a foreign country, and if you're the enemy of my enemy, you're my friend. So sometimes that makes a lot of sense. Now, 22. And Hazael, king of Syria, he's the one who smothered or murdered Ben-Hadad, had oppressed Israel all the day of Jehoahaz. Then was Yahweh gracious, or Hada, unto them, and had Raham upon them, and turned unto them for the sake of his covenant, watch this, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and was not willing to destroy them, nor to cast them off from the presence as yet. So, the covenant with Abraham, we've got to claim that is so important. One thing for Donna, in your case, you know, we know in, you're talking about the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the New Testament, it's very emphatic, 1 Corinthians 5. And it says, if your brother's a fornicator or adulterer or, drunkard, you are not even supposed to eat with that person. So it's a very simple thing. That is absolutely true today, and that is not taught today. It's actually just the opposite. And people think they can get away with having somebody infiltrate their family, which is done all the time. Yeah. And we know with, I did a teaching on Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat was a good king. Now, but he made some, terrifying mistakes by making an affinity with the house of Ahab. And that's where Athaliah comes in. Not only that kills, he gets, by doing that, his sons are murdered, his grandchildren are murdered, because of what he thought. And it says when Jehoshaphat joined arms with Ahab, and that was an example, that...
He said, you're my brother.
Yeah. No, this is Jehoshaphat. Ahab did that to Ben-Hadad.
Oh, yeah.
And so you've got an alliance between Ahab and Ben-Hadad, and now you got Jehoshaphat was in Judah, but when he became very prosperous, he went up to Ahab. He had great success, and he says, wherever you go, fight for Ramoth Gilead, wherever you go, I'll go. Mm-hmm. And then Micaiah says, you're going to die. And how was Ahab killed? Yeah. Straight arrow. And it went in, and probably right through the only place it could enter, you've got your shields on, you got your armor, but you have to have a hinge right there to move your arm, so probably went right through there, right through his body, and he bled to death.
Well, his heart.
Yeah, and you don't get away from Yahweh, so it's the same situation. What Micaiah prophesied is not going to happen to me, because
I'm going to put on
I got brains. I'm going to go in, I'm taking off my kingly stuff, and hey, Jehoshaphat, you keep your kingly stuff on. And he told him that. And I'm just going to go out here in armor, and Yahweh can't see me like that. I'm invisible. And that's how we think of our life, too. And it's like Yahweh's saying, really? Really? I can't see you.
No. How many times have I done that? I mean, it's like, oh, well, nobody knows. I won't tell anybody.
Okay. And I'll go ahead and stop. And now we're going to hear from our Heavenly Father, according to 1 Corinthians 14, a prophecy. But Father, we thank you for these words and for your lessons to teach us, to inspire us, that we don't have to repeat the same mistakes and actually learn from those to teach others also. So my children, my sons and my daughters, those whom I love, those who I gave my son to die for, you are here for a purpose to minister to the people I bring you into contact with through your work and through your livelihood and through your life. Minister my light, because you are salt to the earth. When they see you, when you're walking in my fullness, in the renewed mind, they see me. So that will draw them to me, because your light is unextinguished and it cannot be extinguished. So walk forth and manifest that Holy Spirit that I've given you, that they can hear from me. All right, see you next week.